I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Leibniz, 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 Leibniz.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas.
Oh, I'm Andy.
And I am Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
That is what the podcast is. That is who we are as well. You are listening to it. Hope you have a real good time. And I'm Andy. Did I say my name?
No, you already did. And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall. And Andrew?
Yes.
Welcome. And this would be just after Christmas, you know, probably only 6 days after.
It's probably moments after.
Could be New Year's Eve when people receive this. So if you're hearing this on that day, have a good New Year's Eve. Feel free to purchase tickets to our comedy festival show.
As a New Year's Eve gift.
As a New Year gift, as a good way of wrapping the year, buy yourself some tickets to Teleport, which will be starting in late March and then running all the way through April. And also my other solo show, which I'm much more terrified of. This one, Teleport, is a sure thing.
What's the name of your other show, Alison?
The name of my other show is called Couldn't Be More Thrilled With Everything.
Such a good name.
Oh, thank you.
Going to be an amazing show.
Not as amazing as Teleport. So okay. Teleport first. Everybody, look, if you're going to buy tickets to just one show, and mm-hmm. that's completely fine, Teleport.
Mm. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say no.
No. No, you're not.
Apart from just then.
No, I said it. I'm making no promises.
I had an idea.
Was it like the opposite of yes man? It's no man.
No man. No, it wasn't. But that, you know, that could be something.
Yeah.
It's an inspirational film mm-hmm. about the life changing power of saying no. As if this hasn't already been written as a book. Everything's a life changing power of any old fucking shit.
But what about the environment saving power of saying no?
Yeah, that's probably it's probably something there.
What's that?
Somebody should I turn look on at the movie heat? Yes Man and see what sort of carbon footprint he had.
Well, exactly. It would have been terrible.
Mm.
Yes, it would have been. Was it terrible? Yes. yeah, so look, it's not even about saying no when people ask you questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's about saying no even when people meet your eye.
Okay.
It's about saying no even when you're alone.
Let's find out, what is the carbon footprint? What is the impact on the environment of falling in love?
Mm.
You know, of holding hands under a moonlit sky.
Yeah.
Of looking into the eye of a newborn duck. Seeing the smile
on its face.
Did
you say a newt born duck?
A newt born duck.
A duck born to a newt. What would be the carbon footprint of that?
It's got to be high. I think science.
Yeah.
Whenever we've been at the hospital with babies being born and that sort of thing, hospitals and a science in general produces a lot of plastic waste. You notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Every new piece of equipment is wrapped in plastic. Everything mm-hmm. goes straight in the bin.
Mm.
You know?
Like a beaker?
Wrapped in plastic.
Wrapped in plastic. What kind of things? What kind of things go straight in the bin?
Every time there was like a new syringe or a new little baby bottle or...
At
the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so yeah. You're talking about in science.
Yeah, well, I was trying to conflate the two. But yeah, I think the baby, the newborn duck, would have to take place in a hospital.
Yeah, or at least like a medical lab of some sort. Some kind of like a veterinarian lab. Veterinarian.
Vera Lynn. I think you're thinking of Vera Lynn.
Oh, yeah. Vera Lynn Lab.
This is too much bullshit. But is there anything about the carbon footprint of love?
Yes. But flying
so high with some girl in the sky produces over 200 tons of carbon waste per year.
Sure. But if we're going, I think if there's a sketch in this, yes. Right? Because I think at the moment it's a little light, you know, it's a little light on the sketch. At the moment it's a study, you know. But the study itself would be very wasteful, you know. So having to measure these things and follow these people around and do all sorts of stuff. And then if we can get that newt-born duck in there. You know? That's one way, you know, once you get that newt-born duck.
Yeah, yeah. What about something that is sort of like is reducing your carbon footprint a good enough reason to sort of not really do anything nice for your loved one, to sort of skimp out on anniversaries and birthdays, sort of not make as much effort, you know, and be basically a worse lover?
I think
it is. Yeah. And I think that, like, that's a good excuse, a good reason.
I think if we did one generation, obviously it's too late for you and me.
Yeah.
One generation of everybody is celibate and halibut. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
If you do one generation where everybody is celibate,
yeah.
Doesn't that mean that's it? No more humanity?
No, but, like, you know, like, you're in my generation.
Yeah.
And my parents are in their generation.
Yeah.
Right? But I reckon in between every generation, there's another little generation. Oh, well,
that is not true. That is not true.
Yeah, yeah. No, not between your parents and you. But I mean, there's like
another... But I think in between every generation, there's another generation. That's not possible because generations between one generation and the next, there can't be another generation because then that one wouldn't be the next anymore, Alistair.
Yeah, but I think it's all about categorization. If you look at it, you could actually find that each generation could be split up into two generations.
Right? Oh, this is making me so angry.
There's sort of two demi-generations, right?
Yeah.
Because you're what are you giving, like, you know, 15 years or something like that, or 20 years to people for a whole generation? It's really just 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's 10 years, right, then you're born. Like, let's say your parents are born, right? And then there's this whole part where they live where you're not born, right? But in the middle of that, halfway through,
some people are born,
right? That's a new generation.
Okay.
Right? And then you're born, right? And you're a new generation. Then halfway between when you have kids and when there's another generation of people who are born. Like that.
So there's sort of parallel streams of generations.
Of course, we're all going in the same direction, that of the arrow of time, you know?
Dodgem cart of time.
So we just need one of those generations to not give birth.
Yep.
I think that'd be good.
That'd be good.
Everybody's just celibate skip it. Just and skip halibut. It. And... and... I think maybe that could save us. I'm constantly looking for just a little quick fix.
It's a combination of conscription and contraception. Mm-hmm. It's conscriptraception.
Oh, conscriptraception.
Yeah, and what you do is you put balls in a bowl.
Yeah.
And you pull out the balls, and if they pull out your ball, they pull out your ball.
So, so there's two balls in this bowl. It's a ball full of two balls, but two balls.
Yeah.
Pretty big balls in this bowl. And then they just pull out, one of them is the two breeding generations that are breeding age.
Yeah.
And they pull out one of the balls out of the bowl. And then then the ball.
And then that's your ball. That's your ball. Then they pull out your ball.
Then you pull out your ball.
What's great about it is it's so easy to explain. Yeah.
No,
this is a different idea.
To the carbon footprint of life. Oh, conscriptive shell.
Yeah. and all the balls. And this was the idea that I had before that probably isn't going to be really an idea, right? But you know how we always have special days?
Mm-hmm. Birthdays, Queen's birthday, Jesus's birthday, yeah, Easter that. Bunny's birthday.
Correct. Pancake Tuesday's birthday. There's no special hours.
First day of summer's birthday.
There's no special hours. Oh, like, you know, there's no, like, hour that's a public holiday.
What about 2:30?
2:30. You're right. That is a special hour, 2:30.
So, okay, what are you saying? Every day there should be a special hour. I mean, I'm 100% on board with this.
Thank you.
And, I mean, it doesn't have to be the hour beginning at 2:30.
Mm. But this isn't lunch, I guess.
Because lunch that is kind of a special hour.
But maybe it's not every day. Maybe maybe this one isn't every day,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe this is every 3 months.
Well, how about this?
It's okay. A special hour.
This is how we could do it. This is how we could make a special hour more viable.
Mm.
Okay. So let's say you, instead of using the 24-hour clock, you used a 7-day version of that. So what's
Seven times 24, so it'd be 140. 7 times 4 is 28, 168.
168-hour clock, right? So that way, we just go, we use that instead of what we currently use, right? And you still understand that, you know, nighttime comes every 24 hours or whatever, like that. But within that week, you can have a special hour.
Great.
You know, and that way it doesn't come too often, like every day, and it becomes routine.
Yep.
I mean, if it makes you feel like what we're doing here is actually just having a special thing every week, because then I guess kind of makes the day a bit special, because this is the special day where there's the special hour. We could start calling that a day.
I think that's what we do.
Yeah.
Right? Weeks are days, 168 hours to a day.
Yeah. So there's seven sleeps in a day.
And now we get to have a special hour.
Yeah.
Now, you know, exactly what the parameters are of the special hour, I'm not totally sure.
No.
Do we give each other things? Or
take
things away. You get to take one thing.
Yeah.
And it's like a theft day.
Mm. Yeah,
you get to take one thing from every, or maybe it's a Kris Kringle.
It's a Kris Kringle where you pick a name out of the hat and you can take anything of theirs office,
anything they have,
or whatever you can steal within the hour, as much as you can carry within an hour.
Not as much as you can carry. I think it's just got to be one thing.
Okay.
Because that makes it more special. That's what's so special about the special hour.
Yeah. But let's say...
But you've got to be able to get it within the hour.
What about like a game?
Because if it goes out of the hour, you get arrested and sent to prison. That's just back to theft.
Okay, but let's say, just so we get some ground rules here, let's say you're stealing a game of pickup sticks, right, from this person.
Yeah, right. Great example. I could see you just yearning after that game of pickup sticks for all 167 hours up to the special hour.
Yeah.
Seeing it there,
but
I would love to pick up those pickup sticks.
Does that count as stealing a bunch of sticks? Could you only take, let's say, the container in which they are in?
Really good philosophical question.
No,
I'm glad you brought this up.
Because then could you go, it's a box of stationery stuff. It's just one thing, one box of stationery stuff.
I think... it's one functional unit of whatever the thing is.
So
I don't think a single pickup stick would be considered a functional.
Not functional
unit of pickup stickery.
For pickup sticks.
Yeah.
But it could be
for
functional.
Functional unit for the advertised purpose.
Okay. So, but let's say it was like, you know, a dining set.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then a dining set, you know, if you go to somebody's house or they're, you know, you could take 12 plates, 12 bowls, 12, you know, maybe even 12 forks and spoons and things like that. And then again, now you're looking for things that were bought in groups. Mm. So you're being able to sort of be pretty strategic about this together. What about stealing their house?
If the thing that you're really excited about for the special hour is the opportunity to steal something that has a large number of components.
Yeah.
If that's what you ascribe value to,
yeah,
then absolutely.
Well, you get
loopholes in the special hour are absolutely a thing. You can take somebody's family because it's one family.
It's just one family. I'm just trying to make sure that you're, you know, like that the rules, because then you may as well, if that's the rule, then you may as well make it any as much as you can carry, because you might not be able to carry a whole dining set.
I reckon I could any dining set, as any whole dining set in the world, I could carry
as much as you can carry in one trip.
Yeah,
without using bags.
What about trolleys?
Or no trolleys and no boxes.
Wow, so it's just your bare arms.
Bare arms.
Everybody's naked.
Okay.
For the hour.
For the special hour.
Yeah. For the special hour, so there's no pockets.
Yeah.
Okay? And, yeah, anything that you're, like, it's getting. It's
Does that mean that you can't put anything in your butt?
You can't. Oh, everybody's butt is taped over.
Okay.
With a special tape.
Yes, yeah, special
right,
tape.
That they'll and know it, and that they check the tape at the end of the hour.
It's the special hour tape, and it's the same tape that they use. It's a similar tape. It can't be the same one because it's special. That they use, like, on medicine or whatever, or on,
tamper-proof.
Tamper-proof or even, like, on salad dressing things so that you know that nobody's been involved in your dressing.
So it's exciting. Yeah, you're getting ready. The hour's ticking down. There's, like, 5 minutes before the hour. Where
everybody has to shit before everybody the hour comes.
Oh, well, if you don't, you're a fool.
As soon as you break the seal, you can't steal.
Yeah.
If you've broken the steel, the seal, you may not steal.
So... it's, you know, 166 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Everybody starts stripping off. Everybody helps each other to put the tape over their buttholes.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's a buddy system. Yeah. Special hour buddy system.
Over the buttholes and for the lady, the vagina as well.
Of course. And the ears and the nostrils and the mouth. All the breathing holes.
So everybody's taking real deep breaths as well, because you're only allowed.
No, you can have one that has little holes for the.
It's perforated.
Perforated for the thing, so like a bug in a jar.
I think I don't think everybody's face needs to be all wrapped up.
Okay.
I think it's fun when you're putting tape over the butthole.
I feel like this ruins a little bit of the integrity of Special Hour, but that's okay.
Yeah, do you think there's a war on Special Hour?
I think there's currently a war on Special Hour.
And what's great about Special Hour is that it is low carbon footprint because you're not actually making any new stuff, right?
Unless you're stealing them straight from a factory.
You can't do that.
Oh, but what if the factory is owned by a single man? You know, rather than a corporation. What if the person who owns the factory...
Can you steal that whole factory?
Well, maybe, but then... I wonder if you could steal it. You would have to steal it by sort of getting a new deed done up.
Yeah, it would probably be some quite technical...
But then that would start new industries, people who make up deeds real fast for people who need speed it during deeds. Special... Yeah, speed deeds.
And you've got...
I'm a speed deed dealer.
Very good.
You want factory? Man, this man should have... put factory in the name of business.
I mean... You know, I think people who do that, I mean, you still know what people have done after the hour as well.
That's true.
You know, right? So
you could probably get it back
next
week.
People who steal speed deeds. Via speed deeds. They're not going to have a good reputation in the office or whatever.
That's true.
So, but it is Kris Kringle as well, isn't it?
That's true. So you don't get
it is Kris Kringle and you don't necessarily know who your person is.
Mm.
Until the start of the hour when you all pull out the names and then you sprint off nude.
Nude, yeah.
To their house.
But you might keep like a like a document on Google Docs or something like that.
Mm.
This episode is sponsored by Google Docs. and
I'd love a Google Docs sponsorship.
Yeah. And it's a Google Doc that you have on your computer. It just keeps track of, like, all the stuff people in your office have that you might want.
Sure. Yeah.
And all the people who live within, like, driving distance.
I think that'd just be a fun list to just keep.
Mm.
Even in the absence of Special Hour existing,
yeah.
I'm going to start making that list.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
if somebody finds it, I want to defend myself.
Yeah. Publicly. Yeah. Like on the grand stage.
I think that's a good, I think it's a good question to ask a friend in your life. If you could take one thing of mine, what would it be? Because, you know, it's always nice to feel like people think that you have things that are worth taking as well. It's like it's a little bit flattering.
Do you want to know what I would take?
Of mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, go.
What do you think it's going to be?
Is it going to be my dog?
No way. I don't need that burden. Why, is that what you want me to take?
I thought you might be flipping it around to do something really nice for me.
No. I was going to take your van.
Oh, my van. Yeah. Would that be good for you?
I think I'd like, I just always wanted to have a, you know, like a people mover like that.
Sure. Yeah, you know what? But after you said it wasn't going to be the dog, the first thing I thought was, I wonder if he wants the van.
Really? That was what you thought?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, do you still have that banjo?
I still have that banjo. Oh. Yeah, I haven't played it for a little while. It's a nice banjo, though. Yeah. You'd learn the banjo.
I mean, I'd start picking it up, and then I'd learn it enough that you would feel jealous.
Yes, and it would take 3-4 minutes maximum.
And then I would sort of pick it up every 2 months or something like that after that. Then a lot of the joy, you know, I would have wrung a lot of the joy out of it.
A lot of the jealousy.
Yeah, a lot of the jealousy out of it. And then that's about all I needed. But, you know, for that moment,
what I needed out of this.
It's like a little one-night stand, but with getting jealousy out of
you. Do you think that if my standard for jealousy was higher, you'd achieve more in life?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that if I wouldn't really feel jealous until you'd recorded a full jazz album, would you sort of, would that push you to greater heights?
I just need anything
push me to any height.
Because, you know, one time somebody said to me, it's like, oh, you could never learn alphabet aerobics by whoever did it. And then I was like, he's like, that guy is a professional rapper. Gift of Gab is his name. You know, I think Blackalicious might have been the group that he was a part of. Anyway. Mm. He's like, you could never do that. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And then I just spent hours in my room.
Just like learning.
Learning and learning. Writing down myself. Lyrics. Yeah. Just, and then I go, all right.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
And did you do it in front of this person?
I think I might have had to call them because I think they lived in a different city.
Yeah, right. But and then were you able to do it flawlessly first go?
I'm not sure.
Because when you're in that situation, you want to make sure that you wait long enough that you really got it down.
That's right? True,
but then as soon as I had it down to any standard, I would be burning with the urge to show them.
Absolutely.
To show them up.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, I probably didn't wait long enough. Yeah.
You know, a side effect of special hours, you get to see everybody's genitals.
See, that is nice. And do you think you could take their genitals? I guess you can't.
I don't think you can. No. Unless it's part of the ball system.
It's in the ball system? Oh, that's right. If that person's just lost their
ability. Organ. Yeah, I wonder if you could take somebody's organ. See, I don't think that's in the spirit of special hour.
I know, but you know what people are like.
Unless they'll push it.
Yeah, unless you encode this. I mean, do you remember what the spirit of Christmas was? I don't even remember. I remember now what it is. It's buying each other something that we told the other person that we want.
Correct. Something quite functional that's really necessary for the household.
Yeah. Like an air fryer.
Carly came up with a funny joke the other day. It's not quite a well-formulated joke yet, but like that we're taking the opportunity to buy the kids a bunch of things that they really need.
Yeah.
Right? And that so there's things that we've sort of been holding out on that we probably should have got them, like new drink bottles and stuff a while ago, but we're holding out on giving them until Christmas. Like real cunts. Carly's joke was like, Arlo said he was hungry the other day, so I made a note of that. Oh, really? Somebody's going to be getting something for Christmas. We hold out and now on feeding him until
it's like a dense pumpernickel bread.
I don't know why. Pumpernickel. What a great word.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the bread is shit when the fact that the its name is that good and we're not eating it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, how bad does a bread have to be to squander the name pumpernickel
of
bread?
Of course, yeah. And when you know, there's no, it's obviously there's no point having such a long name when you could have used one of the thousands of unused single syllable words.
Yes, correct.
Clunt.
And you know a bread is good when it's called clumped and everybody's still eating it.
Boy, I love clunt this clunt.
Thick sliced clunt.
Clunt.
Slap that between a couple of slices of clunt. Is there anything we've come up with good?
Can I use this as stand-up?
Yeah.
Look, I'm just going to put in pumpernickel...
clunt. Pumpernickel clunt?
Nickel slash clunt.
Look, if this is stand-up, good luck to you. Hey, I listened to that Dan Rath album that you recommended.
Yeah.
From
ABC Comedy Presents.
You, everybody listening to this, you can listen to the podcast... ABC Comedy Presents, look for Dan Rath's. It's a stand-up special. It's about an hour.
Yeah.
And I started listening before you'd recommended it, or maybe after I'd just seen one recommendation from you or heard it. And I got about 6 minutes in. I was like, no, I can't be doing this. This isn't for me. And then I saw you recommend it again, and I was like, oh, all right. And I went back, listened again. I loved it.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Yeah.
And some of those bits are incredible bits, and he takes things and he follows through on bits in a way that I love.
Yeah, and some jokes are so strong.
Yeah.
And also he is possibly the lowest status a person could ever be. He's just so low status. Like, I mean, just to repeat one joke to, like, he goes, oh, I can't meditate in my car anymore because I'm a redhead and everybody thinks I'm trying to gas myself. People keep breaking into my car, you know, trying to namaste or whatever. I don't know, something like that. But he, it's completely free. If you go ABC Comedy Presents
and
podcast.
Push through the first 6 minutes if you're not enjoying it.
Yeah.
Because it gets really good. That bit about the school shootings without ruining the joke.
Oh, unbelievable.
You know, and, you know, you might think, school shootings, that's not a fit topic for comedy. Well, let me tell you.
Very fit.
Very
tough.
Very fit. Well fit.
Yeah, well fit. Oh, hello. Hello. All right, we got
to
get...
This podcast has been brought to you by Google Docs and Dan Rath's comedy special.
Yeah.
Neither of which have brought us any money, but both of which have brought us joy recently.
Oh, ABC. I mean, ABC Google Docs.
Yes.
You know what? But Google Docs is where I put my ABCs.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
What do you think of this toilet that's sloped downwards so that you can't sit on it for too long at work?
I mean, look, it's. I don't think it's going to catch on.
Do you think it's a real thing, or do you think it's a thing that is an art? Do you think it's an art, or do you think it was a real invention? Someone's like, oh, this is what the world needs, a way to make people spend less time on the toilet.
I do think that it's a thing that people would do to try to make people spend less time in the toilet, because
there's
nothing more I enjoy, nothing I enjoy more or more enjoy than when I've got a job. And I can
go
to the toilet
and
just be there.
Yeah, and just look
at
the
company
your phone,
dollar,
the company dime.
You know, and get all that important work done. You know, why would you be doing that at home on your time?
That's true. I deliberately don't shit at home.
Yeah.
And I'm really uncomfortable a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But I'm like, don't worry. This is an investment. Mm-hmm. I'm saving this up.
Well, as you know, I'm 3 months into unemployment, and that means that I'm 3 months into not shit. I'm hoping just a little freelance job will come up soon, because I am jam packed.
What would a toilet that made it easier to shit look
well,
like?
Tilted backwards.
Tilted backwards, like jam you against the wall.
It's a pooping hammock.
A pooping hammock. Yeah. Hello.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Why so it's seat? A hammock. Hammock. You lie down. There's a hole in it.
Oh yeah.
Now this is my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the functions of the current toilet system is that when you sit down on it, it does kind of pull the cheeks apart just by the nature of sitting and that sort of thing, which is quite helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think lying in a hammock would probably squish them together.
Yeah, but what you're not thinking about is about how you're going to be swinging over some like sort of tall, soft fibers and like a little mini water park under there.
Yeah, okay.
That
there's a mini water park, or do you mean like a wetlands kind of thing?
Well, I don't want it to be actual nature. I think it's going to be synthetic fibers.
Mm, okay.
Even like maybe some of those ultra soft kind of rubbery things that you can kind of get toys in these days. You know, and as a brush. You know, even like that silicone that is used for baking in, but even softer than
so
that.
So this is brushing your butt.
It's brushing, lightly brushing and splashing water.
Oh,
through
jets and
waves.
So it's constantly cleaning and washing and cleansing.
Constantly. You're in a constant state of just absolute relaxation.
And these things, they are wiping everybody's butt as well. Everyone in the office.
I mean, this water is not, it's not like still dank water. It's not like a, you know, a, what's that called?
That stagnant.
You know, stagnant. This isn't stagnant. This is flowing. There is a river system that is now just for toilet rooms.
You know who would have this?
Mm.
Google.
Absolutely. You know,
like this, because
production went up. Productivity went up 9,000%.
Exactly. When we introduced the hammock toilet with the synthetic wetlands, sure, people spend more time lying down to poo, right? But when they're back at their desks, they work that much harder.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
I mean,
I think this is a sketch, and I think this is a differentiating point for, because these big companies, it's not just about the money. It's mostly about the money. But sometimes you can attract people with a beanbag, you know, or a second beanbag.
Oh, of course. But imagine a beanbag you can poop into.
I think let's mock this up.
What are the beans?
All we need is like a toilet seat.
You know?
Right?
Yeah.
A beanbag with a hole in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's proof of concept right there.
I mean, look.
We can iron out the kinks later on.
I think, like, I mean, if there was sort of like a, let's say it's like a seat in the beanbag that is kind of like two bananas, right? And you sit, they're sort of in a V shape, both curling upwards like this, right?
Okay.
Okay, so they're
trying to picture. I think I'm getting it.
Okay. And then you sit on them, and those two things part your butt cheeks a little bit, and there's a hole under there.
Okay.
Right? But when you first get the beanbag, it's empty.
Okay.
It's just an empty cell, a shell. And then you...
So it's not fun to shit into to begin with. Like,
well,
it has
maybe
none of the advantages of shitting into a beanbag initially.
This? They fill it up with animal feces first.
Great. Rabbit droppings basically seem like what you get inside beanbags.
Exactly. Yeah. Kangaroo poop, that kind of stuff. Like that.
Sometimes sheep seem to have two modes.
Mm.
Sheep can both do the little round pellets, or they can do full, big, sticky man shits.
Yeah, great. Sort of like.
Did you ever
after
walk around much in sheep paddocks?
Not that much.
They got two modes.
Could it be just a cow shit and that you don't know much about animals?
We exclusively had sheep.
Yeah,
our paddocks.
Know, but that's what you think.
Okay.
I mean,
you're right. I shouldn't rule that out.
Thank
I
you.
I could be a bigger idiot than anyone has ever been. That's a live option.
It's a cow in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Why just the wolf? I mean, you know that this sheep's clothing, people are buying it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Really, sheep should be called wolves, shouldn't they? Because it's got wool in it.
Yeah. And wolves should be called?
Shark of the land.
Yeah, land shark.
Land shark. Did we write down? Oh, yeah, the hammock toilet slash beanbag toilet.
Beanbag toilet.
I mean, that's obviously going to be popular.
You know what I'm a bit envious of?
The bum bag. That's what the bum bag should be called.
That's what the bum bag
should be. Sheep
should
be wolves. Beanbag should be bum bags.
Beanbags, bum bags, yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll transition because in Australia, what the Americans might know as a fanny pack, we call a bum bag.
So
we're going to transition over to the fanny pack system.
Okay, yeah, great.
Really, fanny packs should be tampons, but, you know, that's because we have a different version of fanny over here.
That's right, yeah.
But we'll transition that as well.
Yeah.
Meaning the bum bag no longer makes sense.
No.
But that's okay.
But, I mean, just pooping into an open fanny pack would be great too.
You're right. And then walking around with it all day. I imagine that would be very empowering.
You know who I'm
walking around with a fanny pack full of your own shit all day. Nobody knows. Nobody knows, but you know.
People have an inkling, though.
Well, but the secret to every apparently to acting.
Yeah.
Secret to acting is that your character has a secret that nobody else knows.
Yeah, right.
Why is that just for acting? Why can't that be for life? My fanny pack has got a shit in it.
It's a good way to be more believable.
Yes, exactly. I sometimes worry that my character, the Andy character that I play, isn't compelling in any way.
Untrustworthy, maybe. And so if we knew that if you had a secret, maybe you would just come across as more believable.
Mm. People with secrets come across trustworthy. That's mathematics. Are we writing this down?
I have a secret.
IRL. IRL secrets. Alistair, let's get our three words from a listener.
Wait, I've been trying to say something.
No, well, I'm not going to allow it. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Last thing I just want to say is I've always been jealous of babies being able to do that shit where they just shit up their back.
Oh.
I think once it'd be great to just do that and just as an adult. All right.
We got to pause the podcast.
Okay.
And we're back. After pausing the podcast, recording two different podcasts, having a meeting and eating dinner, and then chatting to Greg Larson for a bit, we're back and we're still in the heat of it.
Oh, absolutely. I never let my head get out of this podcast for a moment, even while I was doing two other podcasts.
Including this podcast.
Including this one. Including talking to anybody. All right. So the three words from a listener. Andy, I don't know if you know about this, but on Patreon, people can pay $3 and they can suggest three words.
This is news to me.
Yeah, and we'll create a sketch based off of that suggestion.
It's $1 a word.
It's $1 a word. I mean, you know, what a value. But also you get to support us and Andy and his financial problems.
You get to support my financial problems.
Exactly.
Because look at it this way. Mm. If I die, no more financial problems.
That's right.
If you are keeping me alive by supporting me, you are keeping my financial problems problematic.
And we don't know how consciousness arises, so we don't know whether or not these financial problems also have consciousness.
Are sentient.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're big and complex enough that they could begin to exhibit sentient behavior.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they seem to be trying, you know, they seem to have their own interests.
Mm.
And that's all I have. All right. And today's three words come from listener. Oh, no, I didn't write their second name down, his second name.
Oh, well, that's one of the properly. Two most important names.
Yeah, no. Okay, no, it was just my handwriting. It's Kristen Gibson.
Kristen Gibson. Kristen Gibson.
Kristen Gibson.
Thank you, Kristen Gibson. You know, isn't it interesting that we call the first name, and we call the last name the second name, even though there's very often a name in between, suggesting that the middle name is actually like only a decimal fraction name, like a 0.5 or something. Was it the 1.5 name?
I think you're right.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that side-splittingly interesting?
That is side-splittingly interesting.
That is shit all the way up your backly interesting.
Now, Andy, do you want to try and guess what the words are?
Carbon.
Andy, the first one's reverse.
Okay.
So, okay.
Fine. Reverse?
Yeah.
Caravaggio?
No, but you're kind of like, you're starting with the right letter.
Oh, okay. Do I have another go? Reverse car.
No. No, the second letter was really wrong, and I should have explained. You're not even in the right type of letter.
Oh. So it's probably a consonant.
Yeah.
Reverse church.
No, it's reverse Christmas, Andy.
Yes. Well.
Yeah.
C-H.
Yeah, no, I understand.
When you told me there was a consonant following S, following the letter C, I went straight to H.
No, we'll see how it goes.
Reached from my big bucket of H's.
Yeah, no, you did it. You did it, Andy. You got us all the way to reverse Christmas.
Yeah.
Or what was yours? Caravaggio Church.
Miracle?
Sketch, Andy. The third
reverse
question.
Christmas sketch.
That's the most common third word that we ever get.
Hang on. Was this the episode where we came up with the thing of getting to take things during the special hour? Does it say special hour there?
Yeah.
We've already come up with reverse Christmas sketch. We already did it. We did it before we even got to these words.
That's very true, Andy.
And what could be more reverse Christmas than by coming up with a sketch for the three words before the three words and therefore giving the person absolutely nothing they wanted or paid for?
You know, this is, I don't know if this is a joke, but, you know, like me and Indiana, we give each other, I guess, gifts for Christmas, but we kind of tell each other what we want, right? But then Indiana really likes it if you also get things that you didn't ask for.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that as a surprise, I could not give her what she asked for. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the punchline really adds anything in that case because I was already having such a good time.
Great.
I think that's definitely something.
All right, but I think we've still got to come up with
it. You know, like any time somebody says don't get a gift, that 100% means get a gift. Because
This is the opposite.
What they're really doing when they say don't get me a gift, they're doubling the gift, right?
Yeah.
Because you're expecting, like, you've set the expectation to no gift. So not only do you get the surprise of what's in the gift, you get the surprise of there being a gift at all.
Well,
that's a double gift.
Double gift. They're increasing the amount of reward from the lack of expectation.
And also, by saying we're not going to get gifts, they're also giving themselves the gift of not having to get you a gift. So when you get them a gift, they're actually getting three gifts.
That is true. But then aren't they also getting, like a punishment for then not being prepared and getting you a gift because then they have to feel the guilt?
No.
The gift of guilt?
I'd feel fine.
No, oh, great.
I'd love it.
Is there a sketch in that? I think we still have to come up with a sketch, even though we've come up with one, that matches the description.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Reverse Christmas. Well, I mean, you know, that is what we have down here, down under, because we do things a little bit differently down in the land of Oz, you know. Instead of there being snow on the roof, there's...
gravel.
gravel on the roof. Oh. There's literally... Instead of there being a fire outside of the house, inside of the house, there's a fire outside, burning the house down to the ground.
This could make a really nice tweet. You can talk about how in Australia, Santa wears shorts. And instead of there being a fire in the house, there's a fire outside of the house. And the house is on fire as well.
And there's a fire inside the house as well, because it burned all the way in. Yeah. Well, it is kind of like snow and fire are kind of opposites, you know. And so we do have, very, very, you know, very different situation.
I mean, we could just write Aussie Christmas sketch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the kind of thing that we would normally do.
No, and I think Auntie Donna already did it pretty funny with that song.
What is it?
It's Christmas time in the land of Oz, so have a beer for me. And then you sit around the fire. We sit around the fire, but, you know, the second one, he's sitting around a campfire burning, having a, I don't know, beer or something like that. I think Goxie was in it.
Yeah, and then there's a bunch of stuff about...
imprisoning refugees.
Imprisoning refugees, yeah. Okay. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, there's, you know, it feels like there's a lot of variations on this thing to do, but I understand.
I tried to write a Christmas song once about how Santa Claus was in detention on Christmas Island because he'd come here in like a suspected illegal entry vessel.
Yeah.
And he'd been detained by border force.
Mm.
And yeah, but it didn't get very far. It was hard.
How could we make that funny? And then he gives them all gifts.
Yeah.
And then
well, my idea was that all the children in Australia then would want to get to Christmas Island, presumably, because it would be the only place where there was Christmas now, would be on Christmas Island. So all our kids somehow go to sea in leaky boats.
And so then they go there, and then because all their families follow them, and then the government decides that they have to move all the refugees to Australian mainland
Australia.
Is that a sketch?
No.
Well, let's see if a pumpernickel / clunt.
That's going to be that's a stand-up bit, Alistair. We can't have that as a sketch.
No, you're right.
Pumpernickel clunt. Whoa. Yeah. Reverse Christmas. Let's see. You know, going down the
What if it was like a Freaky Friday scenario?
Oh, this is good. Well, this is so good. This has never been done with Christmas, with Santa Claus before. A Freaky Friday Santa Claus. Because we've had Tim Allen turning into Santa Claus, but we haven't got to see Santa Claus trapped inside the body of someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, a 12-year-old girl or something like this. This is a Freaky Christmas.
Yeah.
Absolutely Freaky Christmas. That was a great film.
Great.
Yeah, people are always looking for a new take on the Christmas story.
You just got to take part of the story of another movie.
Yes.
And then just apply it to Christmas.
Well, basically.
You can't
turn up your nose at a premise.
No.
When you're trying to work in the overworked oeuvre of Christmas films, you take what you can get.
Of course.
You know?
I mean, I wonder if Lindsay Lohan will be available to play the 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, we can definitely get her in this film.
Oh, but you know what she could play the mom.
Right.
And that's why the kid needs, like, you know, she's like wishing for something, you know, special. Because her mom's a bit off.
A bit off. She's just a bit off.
She's just a little bit off, you know. She's just kind of.
Her mum's Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, it's like, you know, she's had. It's not that there's anything wrong with Lindsay Lohan, but she's had probably, you know, addiction problems in the past, and that means it's something you'll live with and control for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
And so it's gonna be a tough one. You know, the real message is gonna be don't get on the junk ever.
Right.
But in the end, we're going to have a young girl acting like she's a sort of a 300-year-old man, you know, and eating lots of cookies and stuff like that around the
climbing down people's chimneys. Yeah. I think this is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They got us. I don't know how it happens. You know, I mean, maybe Santa Claus just gets struck by lightning or something like that.
Would that happen though? Like, what happens when a plane gets struck by lightning? Does it ever happen?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. I think they have, yeah.
But does it go through the plane and then go still towards the ground?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure planes do get struck by lightning. Wouldn't feel like they do because they're not earthed.
Mm.
But I think they could still be at a different electrical potential to the clouds that are sparking the lightning. So that might mean that they are able to get zapped.
Kill all the bugs on the outside.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be good when you open the door later and you're like, oh, nothing. Sweet.
Normally there's lots of live bugs on the outside of the plane when we land.
Oh,
pick up crazy, a lot of bugs, how live
crazy would
bugs.
That be if you, like, you flew up into the air? If, like, let's say, like, you know, the ground becomes too unlivable for bugs because it's too hot down near the down near the earth, so they move
all
up
there.
And then when the plane flies through the air, they just get covered in bugs and stuff
on the windscreen.
And you just see it all in the windows, and they're all crawling all over.
When it lands, it's encrusted.
It's just a chance for them to all feast on each
amazing
other.
Amazing if there was just like a bug layer, bug layer just above the clouds.
The bug cloud
might be good. Might help us stop climate change. We get some nice shiny beetles up there. Reflect some of that sunlight.
I know, but if they what if they don't have anywhere to breed on land anymore because of all the forests have burnt down? Anyway, let's not think about it.
The Santa swap.
The Santa swap.
Mm.
What Santa. About it's a Kris Kringle with Santa?
Oh, that's interesting. What do you get for the man who gives everything? That's one of the taglines.
Oh, that is good. But Freaky Christmas.
Mm.
But then we're going to have to pay royalties at the Freaky Friday.
I don't think we do. I don't think they own the word freaky.
I know, but we're also doing the body swap.
We're also stealing their concept. Yeah, you're right. But it's with Santa.
Yeah, that's true. I know, but what's great is that we get to come up with a cool way in which they swap bodies.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Maybe it could be something like a slug that goes into each other when it's here.
Right.
Same concept as Animorphs.
Mm, yeah, except for some reason it swaps your personalities. It swaps
personalities with another slug.
But same concept in that there's slugs. We've taken the slug concept.
Slugs
going in. They were called Zergs, weren't they?
Probably. And that guy who was in it was also in Road Trip.
And that other guy who was in it was also in X-Men.
Really?
I think so.
Michael Fassbender?
X-Men First Class. I think he was like the pyro guy or the ice guy or something.
Oh, Iceman.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, do you think we should wrap it?
Yeah, we can wrap this up.
All right, well, let me read through these sketches.
We can absolutely sell a freaky Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is crazy. We're going to have such a busy year selling all these movies. Two in the Think Tank, 215. We're only 85 episodes away from 300. We're thinking about doing episode 300 underwater. Yeah, we're going to bring it up a notch. We're going to be raising money to get...
By it, we mean the water level in the podcast.
Right, we got carbon footprint. Of love leads to no love. Everybody realizes that their carbon footprint is hugely increased by. I mean, there's people figuring it out, but then people realize that their carbon footprint is being raised by being in love, and so they try to lead lives apart from each other in order to try to save the planet.
Yeah. Well,
then we got conscriptception.
Yep, and that's where if you put a ball in the ball, then they take the ball. You
take the ball, and then at the ball in the ball, and then if the ball comes out, and then you take the balls. And then one generation of people don't breed, and this is another one to try and save the planet.
Also, the event where they pull the balls out of the ball, that's a ball.
That's a big ball. then we got special hour.
Yes.
You've heard special of special hour. Days.
One every 168 hours.
68 hours, which is now how long a day is.
Yep.
But it's also what we know as a week now. What you currently know as a week.
One Earth week.
Yeah. But anyway, special hour is going to be great, and you're going to be nude, and you're going to try. You get to take one thing from a person who's like your Kris Kringle, and you can keep it. It's as much as you can carry in your arms. No pockets.
You know what's always fun?
What?
Referring to money as Earth dollars. You know? never not hilarious. You know, seven of your Earth dollars. Your Earth dollars. But maybe I'll start doing that. I'll mix that up and I'll say, yes, your current day Earth dollars. Yes.
I like it. Oh, and then also there's a war on special hour at one point. You know? Maybe the left...
The loony left.
They just, oh, we're not okay with people saying...
taping up each other's buttholes.
Oh, we want people to be able to use their buttholes for whatever they want, to carry whatever they want. Anyway, even though it's just this 1 hour...
Special hour? It's every week. That's insane. Stealing things from each other.
But it's only an hour.
I know.
It's not stealing. It's just taking. You're allowed to.
You're right. You're right.
Special hour.
Mm-hmm. It's de-gifting.
And also...
We call it de-gifting.
De-gifting. And also, think about... I think it would ease all the tension in the office if everybody saw each other naked for 1 hour.
Mm.
All the tension would be eased. You know all that tension?
Office tension. What do their dicks look like? What's going on with their butts?
Yeah.
I'm so tense. I'm so tense.
Oh, do they have a... what's their back like?
I know I saw it a week ago, but I've forgotten.
Well, you wouldn't get a good look of everybody because you still got to be sly.
You get a pretty good look when you're taping up their butts.
Well, you're going to be pretty focused. I think it's a job. You don't want to be spending the whole hour taping up somebody's butt when you're going to be trying to steal their most valuable possession. You're mostly going to know their perineums. Anyway, then there's the pumpernickel/clunt stand-up bit, which is talking about how
pumpernickel clunt.
Pumpernickel is this bread that nobody eats, but which is such a disaster because it's got such a beautiful name, you know. Yeah. And but also it's like we must be a pretty bad bread if nobody eats it. But then on the other hand, we got this other bread called clunt that everybody loves, despite it being called clunt. I don't know if that's a bit.
Who knows? There is already a bunt cake, isn't there?
Yeah. Blunt cake's what I call it. and then we go hammock toilet or beanbag toilet.
Mm.
You know, this is the remedy to these forward tilting toilets that are there to make you poop faster so you can get back to work because it hurts your legs.
How businesses can really attract the best candidates, their jobs. You say, you come work here, you can lie down to shit.
Yeah. A recliner toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Still porcelain, but you lean. It's lean back. It's like you're. Like you're sitting.
It's a lazy boy.
No, it's like you're sitting in the space shuttle. You know, it's like you're sitting in the rocket about to Apollo 13. But your butt's in a hole.
And there is a countdown. And there's a countdown.
Yeah. And you are wearing a spacesuit.
Ow!
What happened?
Oh, I just got really bad ear pain.
Oh, that's good. Then we got have a secret. Wait. Oh, yeah. You know how actors have a, you know, the key to being believable is an actor is keep a secret. Well, use that in your regular life.
Yeah.
Get yourself a good secret.
This bum bag is full of shit.
I've pooped in this bum bag. And I'm carrying it around. Nobody knows. They know something's up.
But, they probably got an inkling. Yeah, but they don't know for sure.
But you've never come across more genuine. And then we just got Freaky Friday Christmas. Thanks, Kristen.
Yes.
And thank all of you for listening.
Thanks very much. We really do appreciate it.
Oh, so gosh.
I try to stop saying that every single time. I hear a lot of people say it at the end of their podcast, more serious podcasts than ours. Catherine Murphy says it at the end of the Australian Politics.
I think you could do much worse than being like Guardian journalist Catherine Murphy.
Well,
Murfaroo
on Twitter.
Yeah.
But we do appreciate it.
We do appreciate it. And we are on Twitter.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
And I'm at AliceRTB, and we're at 2 in Tank. And we're also on Instagram at 2 in Tank.
And you can support us on Patreon if you would like to. If you would like to send in three words, if you would like to get the bonus episodes that we do every month, the Sci-Fi Try Guys, I've got a good story brewing. I've got a good story brewing for Sci-Fi Try Guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil anything. It's got God in it.
Oh, I got one too.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll put God in mine.
Yeah, put God in yours. He's a great character. Mm. Right, and we also do one where we come up with fire. We're doing teleport.
We're working on teleport in there, which is the two teleport characters. They're just talking about teleportation technology and what it offers and its possibilities. But we're also doing these two comedy festival shows coming up in March and April, which tickets are now on sale. Give yourself the gift of easing. That off your mind, knowing that that's a task that you have scratched off your list.
The next year won't even have started yet, and you've already achieved something.
You could go into 2020 having done things. You know, a high achiever.
You've defied the passage of time. You've exactly. already achieved something in a year that is yet to begin.
That's right. And so
what a
can,
way to start. What a get, way to show your dominance
you
over the
year.
You can
go to thecomedyfestival.com.au and buy a ticket to Teleport. And if you want also, that's the most important one. But if you want to also, you can get a ticket to Alistair Chomley Rituals.
Do that.
Couldn't Absolutely. Be more thrilled couldn't, with everything.
Couldn't. And you won't be after you've bought tickets.
After you've seen it and bought tickets. Anyway, enjoy your lives. It's been so lovely. Feel free to review us online if you want. It feels great whenever it happens. Check out Shusher Guided Meditations if you want. Who knows? And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.